Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Down to Agribusiness with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Welcome to the Farmers Journal Agribusiness podcast for the week of September 15th. My name is Lorcan Roach Kelly, Agribiz editor at Farmers Journal. Today I'm joined by Phelim O'Neill, as usual, and also we have a special guest today, Barry Murphy. Barry was in Singapore recently at the Food Hotel Asia, in where were lots of basic food companies were showing their wares, and Board B as Origin Green had a large tent there. And Barry, you've a few stories about what kind of companies we're doing and what they're looking to achieve in Asia at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely, Lorcan. Look, it was a busy trade mission for Minister for Agriculture, Charney McConlogh, and the Board B team. So there was, I suppose, in essence, it was to launch Board B's 8 million campaign to promote Irish beef and lamb and dairy out in Southeast Asia. Those campaigns, 4.8 million for beef and lamb and 3.2 million for the dairy, they're mainly paid for by the European Union. I think 90% of the funding comes from the EU on those ones. But it was across the two countries, so Japan and Singapore. So the trade mission first went to Japan and then on to Singapore. And you're right there, yes, we went to the Food Hotel Asia. It's one of the largest, I suppose, agri-food or food trading shows in Southeast Asia, essentially like an indoor plough match, for want of a better description there. And Board B had a strong presence at the event, a big stand, its Origin Green stand, and you kind of can see the big green banner across the hall, and it really stood out amongst other countries. And, while other countries were touching on sustainability credentials and, you know, some grass-based production and what they're doing on the environment, Board B definitely was kind of, I suppose, ahead of the pack there in kind of pushing, from an Irish perspective, the environmental credentials Irish farmers and the Irish agri-food sector has.
Did you find, when you're talking to clients or customers, please, was there much demand for that kind of environmental sustainability, or is this something Board B is trying to hard sell into the economy, whether demand is there or not?
Yeah, it's definitely there. I suppose what the key thing is, and talking to, you know, a lot of the agri-food companies there, the likes of Tierlan and Lakelands Dairy and ABP and Johnstone, you know, your milk and meat exporters, and they were saying that you can't forget about taste and quality either. So, you know, they're going up against, you know, Japanese beef production, the likes of the Wagyu, and the Americans pushing, you know, their quality grain-fed steaks. And, you know, you can't forget about the taste and quality in that equation. And the two go hand in hand. You know, they're saying that grass-fed, more environmentally sustainable beef and milk is it's going to be naturally tastier, and it's going to be a better quality product and better for your health as well. Talking to Tierlan, and it was Marco Catrana, he's their business development manager in Vietnam, and he was at the event. And, you know, it's simple things like explaining to the Asian consumer about, you know, why Irish cheese is orange or red. And, you know, it's to do with its grass-based production. And, you know, they're more used to the paler, the cream kind of cheese from other countries. And it's things like that I suppose those companies that were at the event were trying to get out to the Asian consumers. They had a good show, and I mentioned Tierlan there and Lakelands and ABP and Johnstone. But you also had Butler's chocolates, you know, I suppose they're made using Irish dairy. You know, the sustainability point doesn't really come into it for them, they were saying. But, you know, it's again the quality of the Irish milk that really allows them to kind of push deals when they're selling their chocolates over the line.
Yeah, just getting back to the, I suppose, the dairy and the beef sector. How much dairy and beef has been sold into the region at the moment? Because I'm not sure that, I know we talk about sustainability, like sustainability of shipping beef halfway around the world is probably not hugely environmentally friendly. So do you find that there is much of a market there already, or is there ambitions to grow it by much, do you know?
Yeah, look, in fairness to Bord Bia, they've done a lot of kind of analysis on this, and I might just split it into the Japanese and the Singaporean markets, Lorcan, if that's okay. But from a Japan perspective, look, €28 million worth of beef and beef offal went to Japan last year, and that was up 76% or €12 million on the year prior. Now, a lot of that increase is down to the offal side of things. ABP is one of the big exporters or processors there, driving tongue exports to Japan. So, you know, while it's beef, it's some of it's, you know, maybe that beef in the fifth quarter. But that said, look, they're already, they are as well driving the, you know, the premium cuts on your steaks and your more kind of premium market as well. Johnstone Beef, they're kind of a wing out of Keepak, and they take beef from Tipperary and Clare. And I suppose it's the premium cuts, they age it, and their steaks are selling for, you know, on a bad day, they were saying €150 in restaurants and in high end hotels, you know, but could be upwards towards €200 as well. So look, that's the kind of the Japan side of it. From a Singapore perspective.
If I could just come in you slightly there, Barry, sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, it should be kept in mind, of course, that, you know, whilst there might have been a big increase in terms of value last year, that was very much driven by inflation and beef prices, the same with all agriculture commodities. In volume terms, Japan remains a tiny market for us. They take about 3,200 tonnes a year thereabouts. Now, that's only 1/100th of what the US is exporting there. Now, a small volume and a lot of it's awful, as you say, but the good news is, I think, that there's serious potential for growth there because our prices are lower than the Australian and the US prices at the minute, someone we touched on last week in the Farmers Journal. So there is great potential for growth there, I believe. But, you know, just to keep it in context, it is a small but growing market. It's probably the best way to describe it. Sorry about that, Barry, but just felt we should make that point just as we go along.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Phelan. And you mentioned the word growth there, and that was... That's the it essentially, I suppose, the words that, you know, that they were using in all their pitches to buyers and, you know, contextualizing the market was, you know, it has potential to grow. It's interesting, you mentioned about, you know, 1/100 of what the US was putting in. And we were speaking to the US Meat Federation and to the kind of those who are from the US exporting meat into Japan. And, you know, they were saying they don't come across Ireland in terms of competition and markets in Japan, you know, so we are definitely still a small player in that area. On the Singaporean side of things then, Lorcan, there was we've had access for beef and lamb in Singapore for the last 10 years. I think it was 2011 was when we first got access. Bord Bia launched it into retail for the first time last week, so it was on shelves and Singaporean consumers could go and buy it themselves instead of just getting it through a restaurant or a hotel. And it was ABP supplies beef, and you mentioned there about flying it across the world and the sustainability of that. I suppose, you know, those kind of costs have gone up. It's costing ABP €5 a kilo to get the beef there this year when it cost €2 last year. So that's a change for them, and they're putting the kind of the high price at €72 a kilo down to the markup by the retailer of 65%. So look, it beef is wanted out there. It's quality short Irish Angus beef, but it's just interesting to see, you know, how much it costs to get there and where the margins lie in it. And then on the lamb side of things as well, it was being introduced into the same shop kind of alongside the beef. So it'll be interesting to see how they do there.
Yeah, retailing at €72 a kilo, it's certainly retailing their premium product. So many other companies, one of the companies I thought was interesting about Singapore, that's the Silver Hill Ducks, have been in the Asian market for a long time and they see themselves more as Asia's where the vast majority of the market is. Are other companies kind of following Silver Hill's kind of path they've beaten into the Asian market? Are they helping other companies behind them? It seems to be something that would be, there's definitely some knowledge there that could be leveraged if it was available.
Yeah, it definitely seems so. The Bord Bia team themselves would say that, you know, they are opening doors for other Irish food companies out there. They've been out there since 2014, and they've partnered with a Singaporean man, and basically he had been in London quite a bit, and he had tasted the London fat duck. And what a lot of people don't know is the London fat duck is actually an Irish duck produced in County Monaghan, and you know, it has a lot of maybe high-end customers, and there's even some celebrities and stuff thinking they're eating duck produced in the UK, but it's actually Irish. But that gentleman from Singapore tasted there, and he kind of followed it the whole way to Monaghan and kind of set up a partnership with Silver Hill. So the Irish Duck Company, they distribute the Silver Hill duck in Singapore, and they're now also distributing Johnstone beef. So the IDC, or the Irish Duck Company, distributing Irish beef as well. So they're definitely working together, and when they're going into pitch to a restaurant, they're nearly pitching the two products, both quality Irish beef and the duck in one at the same time. So they're working together there, and they have a great understanding and a knowledge of the Singaporean market, the Silver Hill team do. And they're really driving exports, and their biggest issue at the moment is expansion. They could be producing twice the amount of ducks, or so they say anyway, twice the amount of ducks, and have a market for them. And they say they're also nearly, or they're thereabouts, and getting access to the Malaysian market as well for a poultry. So, you know, Borbia definitely championing them. But even just watching the Silver Hill team at the stands last week, you really saw the value of having a distributor on the ground. The Silver Hill guys could really nearly step back, and it was for want of a better, it was the locals who were selling their duck for them. And it's a particularly Asian product, or a product that's, I suppose, suitable to the Asian market. And with using that kind of advantage, it is opening doors for other Irish produce.
Yeah, sounds like it really is. There's plenty of opportunities and plenty of potential in the market over there. And if the Irish does manage to get itself, I suppose, positioned as the premium product it is, it could generally be more success stories down the road. Hopefully we'll see more of that. I think, Phelim, staying in Asia, Phelim, this week you wrote about the Chinese beef market and how perhaps maybe we might see some effect for the Irish market eventually out of what's happening in Chinese beef at the moment. Could you elaborate a small bit for us?
That's right, Larkin. What caught my eye was a USDA report that was released towards the end of last week, just doing an assessment on the look ahead on China. Now, China, and I suppose we have to be honest and say, it has really been the driver of the global beef market for the past decade. You know, if we go back 10 years, if we go back to 2012, they were importing a negligible quantity of beef, just a few thousand tons. Whereas this year, it's expected they will import in excess of 3 million tons, 3.1 million is what USDA put that at. Now, that has been a case of year-on-year growth since then. I've described it as explosive growth, because it has been. They would account for 20% of all the beef that's traded in world markets at the minute. So it has been a good news story all the way. Ireland had a slice of that action for a few months, if you like, or maybe a year back, but that ended in May 2020 when there was a case of BSE discovered. We haven't got back in since. But whilst China has been growing as a market, it has taken beef from South American countries, US, that otherwise might be targeted in the European Union. So even if we weren't getting a direct benefit, we're getting an indirect one. However, it looks like it has been slowing down the rate of growth in their imports. And at the USDA this time, for the first time in a decade, are actually forecasting that for 2023 that the Chinese will import less beef, not just a little amount less, they'll import 600,000 tons carcass equivalent there or thereabouts less in 2023 than have in 2022. To put that in context,
that's a huge amount, isn't it? 600,000 tons.
Yeah, to put that in context, Larkin, that is roughly in line with what Ireland would produce on an annual basis in terms of our total production, both what we consume at home, what we export to UK and beyond to mainland Europe. So, look, it's a very significant quantity. And where that concerns us is the fact that that means Brazil, where the production and output still growing, Argentina, Uruguay in particular, who export 3/4 of all of their beef production or exports go to China, they'll be looking for other markets in 2023. Their next preferred market will be the European Union. And that is likely to have a negative impact. Certainly, it'll make the market more competitive, and that's likely to have a bit of pressure on Irish prices, Irish farm gate prices. So that's something I suppose we'll watch out for and with interest now. As I say, at this stage, Lorcan, it's a forecast, but USDA, they're pretty good farm in the whole world of forecasting. It's from their offices in the country or their site on the ground, so they're well tuned into what is going on, and it's something that would be of a concern to me.
I certainly see that. Like it was said, the Brazilian South American production is not going to turn around on a dime either. So if the Chinese demand falls off a cliff, then that production has to go somewhere, and they'll look for any market they can, and perhaps undercut Irish exports into Europe might be what we're seeing again. maybe, but what we're seeing. I think something else that maybe I wrote a small piece about today might actually feed into that as well. We're looking at the US, you know, UK consumer market, and the retail inflation in the UK right now is well over 12% and may hit as high as 18% early next year. And what we're seeing, there's a marked move in the consumer behavior that they're moving towards discount supermarkets and own brand stores, own brand within the larger retailers such as Tesco. So we saw Aldi actually jumped to the fourth biggest supermarket in the UK last month for the first time ever, as far as we can tell.
Pick that up, Lorcan, and just to cut across you there for a minute, sorry. It's also worth noting that if you follow the Kantar data through into the different segments within the retail sector, you will find that beef and lamb, the most expensive meats, are coming under increasing pressure and they're losing volume sales. And we also have an issue, and I was just chatting to a prominent meat trader earlier today, and he was explaining to me that, look, he's seeing the time ahead here. The manufacturing beef, that's the forequarter, the cheaper beef that's used in mince, it's used in burgers, that there's no drop-off in demand for it, that is holding his ground very, very well. And in fact, he sees that market growing, but the downside is he sees a pressure on the premium cuts, the higher value cuts, the steak meat, the roasting meat. And again, that's, what we gain on one hand there, we're going to lose on the other. The problem is if we're losing market for the high value cuts, it puts an awful pressure then on the lower value cuts. And the bottom line is you can see how there will be further squeeze on consumption, particularly if that inflationary trend that you've highlighted in this week's paper, Larkin, if that continues into 2023, then, it's like everything else. It's just going to just have a wider knock-on effect and squeeze the market further.
Yeah, I think like there's only two down in the beef market today, but we have like long-term worries and short-term worries and medium-term worries as well. So I think it's kind of like the agricultural prices have held up well, but there's a point where the consumer's going to have to be squeezed too hard. I think we may approach that in the UK. Definitely something to watch out for the back end of this year, start of next year, see how that develops.
And it's why we'll be looking at Asia and perhaps that Japanese market where there's so much potential, Barry, just to finish on a more positive note that Barry was talking about earlier there.
If we can get 72 euros a kilo, I think we'll all take that for as long as we can get it.
Indeed, and if we could even grow that, if we can take a bit of the Americans when they're still not noticing us, that would help as well. So it would give us another option.
Absolutely. And on that optimistic note, I think we'll leave it today. Thanks again to Phelim and Barry for joining me for the Agricultural Business Podcast, the Farmers Journal. Hopefully we might see you all at the ploughing. Other than that, we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Cheers, Lorcan. Cheers, Barry.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.